now, live from the Daniel Scappin Studio, deep in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, it's Mike Malloy. I'm here. Believe it or not, I'm here. Sorry. A little bit slow on the uptake here to get behind the microphone. It's been a horrible day, hasn't it? It's been a horrible day on a number of fronts. But the most insidious part of this day was that bullshit fucker Trump sitting there during the meeting. I guess those were cabinet officers, and the cameras were allowed in. And there sat Trump talking about how he just couldn't stand to see families separated. Oh, my goodness. So therefore, he's going to sign an executive order to make it stop right away. This is the same piece of shit. I hate this man. I swear to God, I hate this guy. The same piece of shit who has been saying for weeks, oh no, not going to do anything. Democrats did it. Not going to do anything. It's up to the Congress. Let them do it. Let the Democrats do it. No. So what changed his mind? Who gives a shit what changed his mind? But what he's done now with this stupid-ass executive order of his, which is insane, what he has done now is he has made an intolerable situation even worse. Nobody knows where these children are, where hundreds, if not thousands, of these children have been snatched away and taken where? Fucking ICE and fucking Homeland Security and the rest of these sick Nazi agencies, they don't keep records. ICE? ICE is a terror organization. What, they're going to keep records? That's what I've been hearing all day, that nobody knows where the children are. Some of the parents have been sent back to the countries from which they fled. And the kids that they had to leave behind have been distributed all over the fucking country. Nobody knows where they are. And some of these kids, they don't know what to say. They don't even speak English. And forget Spanish. Some of them come from Central American countries where various dialects are spoken, not just Spanish. It's just incomprehensible that this is going on. So this goddamn piece of shit, Donald Trump, creates a problem, a horrific problem with his arrogant, fascist fucking stance on everything. And then when enough pressure builds from Republicans, maybe from his old lady and his fucked up daughter, I don't know who applied pressure to him. I really don't give a shit who applied pressure to him. He's a monster. He's a beast. But then he acts as though he is going to step into the breach and save the little immigrant children who have been so brutally mistreated by him. And I watched Trump during his cabinet meeting. This sick man actually believes, I'm beginning to believe there are two or maybe three Trumps. You remember the movie in the 50s, the book Three Faces of Eve? But watching Trump at this cabinet meeting today, where he talks as though some sinister force operating at will against children is loose in the country. And the only one that can save these children is him. I mean, if that's not schizophrenia, somebody tell me what is. This sick son of a bitch needs to be removed from office. I mean, fuck impeachment. Use the whatever amendment. He is unfit. And this is only fucking Wednesday. It's astonishing. Astonishing. Let me mention our sponsors tonight. Janet Scapin is one of our sponsors tonight. Her message for providing a voice through all the evil and all the fear and all the injustice. I thank you for your spirit, Mike. Thanks, Janet. Chris Shaper. Her message, Long Live Church Night, Crush the Infamy. By the way, today is Chris Shaper's birthday. Happy birthday, Chris. I wonder how this story is playing where Chris is in, what city is she in Germany? Stuttgart. Thanks, Chris. James Bothamley is our third sponsor. James Wright, happy belated Father's Day, Mike. The greatest gift my own father gave me was the privilege to grow up in Mexico. So whenever I hear the ridiculous argument that to live in this country you must speak English, I think of the Michael Franti lyrics from Is Love Enough, where he states, "What language do you laugh in? What language do you cry in? What language do you dance in, make romance in? What language do you make love in? Oh, pray to the above in. What language are your fears? What language are your tears? Believe in coexistence." Keeping it lit, James. Thank you, James. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Janet. Over and over and over again, both this monstrous Donald Trump and his abused Secretary of Homeland Security, Kirstjen Nielsen, who more and more is beginning to remind me of a battered wife. Trump has publicly castigated her, belittled her, and now she defends him. Homeland Security and battered wife, Kirstjen Nielsen, and Trump, the batterer, have repeatedly said that only Congress could stop family separation at the border, and only through legislation. And then today, this dirty, fucking, sick man reversed course, signed an executive order ending family separations at the U.S.-Mexico border after what can only be described as a massive uproar over the impact of this zero-tolerance bullshit. Now, the order he signed today Looks like it was written by the Nazi Jew Steve Miller. Somebody wrote it. Trump couldn't even fucking spell the words, some of the words that are in this order, much less put them into coherent paragraphs or sentences. And by the way, if you're offended by my constant use of the term Nazi Jew or someone's a Muslim, it's a descriptive religious term, a Jew. A Nazi Jew or a Nazi sympathizing Jew existed in the death camps. Stephen Miller is a Nazi Jew. End of discussion. Now, what Trump came up with, or somebody came up with today, and this orange son of a bitch signed his name to, would keep families together in federal custody while awaiting prosecution for illegal border crossings. And there's no length of time on how long they can be held in custody, which violates a 1997 court settlement limiting the duration of child detentions. So this is going to wind up in the courts. And whether or not it can be put into effect now, or if it has to work its way through the courts, which could take months, if not years, to finally get to the fucking Supreme Court, who knows? So as he signed the order in the Oval Office today, this piece of shit said this, quote, "So we're going to have strong, very strong borders, but we're going to keep the families together. I didn't like the sight or the feeling of families being separated." Fuck you, Trump. You didn't like the sight of what you, and your goblin Klansman who operates as your attorney general, what you put into effect. And you can blame it on the Democrats until fucking hell freezes over and you're in the middle of it. But that doesn't change the truth, Trump. Jesus Christ. Was it the images of the little kids in metal cages, you human fuck up, you? Is that what it was? What was the term used to describe those places where the babies and toddlers were kept? Tender age shelter. Tender age shelter. Baby jail. AKA baby jails, you motherfucker, you? Tender age shelters? Oh, my God, that's right dripping out of George Orwell's pen. Tender age shelters, these cages. And here's the thing that is just additionally horrible. The people in ICE, the people in Department of Homeland Security, the people who will run these fucking things, they're not allowed to touch the children. They're not allowed to pick them up. How the fuck do you feed a baby if you can't pick her up? How the fuck do you change a diaper if you can't touch a baby? This is madness. I'm sorry for the screaming. I really am. I'm at the end of my fucking rope here. This is just... Tender what?
Tender age.
Tender age. You dirty bastard. You dirty bastard, you. Jesus Christ. You want to hear the executive order? I'm not going to read the whole thing. By the authority vested in me as president, by the Constitution and laws of the United States, including Immigration Nationality Act, it's hereby ordered as follows. Section 1, policy. It is the policy of this administration to rigorously enforce our immigration laws. Under our laws, the only legal way for an alien to enter this country is at a designated port of entry at an appropriate time. When an alien enters or attempts to enter the country elsewhere, that alien has committed at least the crime of improper entry and is subject to a fine or imprisonment. This administration will initiate proceedings to enforce this and other criminal provisions of the Immigration and Nationality Act until and unless Congress directs otherwise. It is also the policy of this administration to maintain family unity, including by detaining alien families together where appropriate and consistent with law and available resources. Oh, there's that little codicil there at the end, right? It is unfortunate, this piece of bullshit goes on, that Congress's failure to act and court orders have put the administration in the position of separating alien families to effectively enforce the law. Can you fucking believe this? It's the court's fault. It's Congress's fault. It's the Democrats' fault. And everybody knows or should know at this point that all it would have taken to stop this bullshit would have been a phone call from the sick fucker in the White House to the goblin that runs the Justice Department. Two words. Stop it. But no. That's not how Trump operates. This fucker is a bomb thrower. He's a chaos producer. He stirs this shit up that is just inconceivably, outrageously horrible. And then either walks away from it and lets somebody else clean up the shit he just dumped on the carpet or the dining table, or he then switches in his schizophrenic mode from perpetrator to rescuer. Oh, well, I can't stand to see these little children like this. Oh, my goodness. These goddamn Democrats who caused all this. These goddamn courts that caused all this. So, therefore, I, in my magnificent magnanimity, I, because only I can do it, am going to bring all of this madness to a stop. And these little tykes sure remember my name forever because I'm saving them. You sick fuck. Section 2, definitions. Alien family means, 1, any person, not a citizen or natural or national of the United States, who has not been admitted into or is not authorized to enter or remain in the United States, who entered this country with an alien child. Alien, you fucker. You Trump fuck you. Alien child? Or alien children at or between designated ports of entry and who is detained and to that person's alien child or alien children to be. Alien child means any person, not a citizen of the United States or a national who, 1, has not been admitted into or is not authorized to enter or remain in the United States, 2, is under the age of 18, and 3, has a legal parent relationship to an alien who entered the United States with the alien child or at or between designated ports of entry and who was detained. Alien child. Is that what you call barren, you fucker? You refer to him as an alien child? You know, the one you never, ever, ever see, never pay any attention to? Number 3, Section 3, temporary detention policy for families entering this country illegally. A, the Secretary of Homeland Security, you're an after-designated secretary, shall, to the extent permitted by law and subject to the availability of appropriations, subject to the availability of money, maintain custody of alien families during the pendency. Can you imagine Trump writing this? Fuck. Of any criminal improper entry or immigration proceeding involving their members. B, the secretary shall not, however, detain an alien family together when there is a concern that detention of that alien child and the child's alien parent would pose a risk to the child's welfare. I guess that means the rapists and murderers and drug smugglers who Trump sees seeping out of every fucking dark corner near the border. If they come over with children, well, too bad we're taking your kid because you're a criminal. See, here's the part that is scary as a motherfucker to me. This is the part. At some point in the not too distant future, 10, 15, 20, 30 years from now, people will remember this part. This is Section C, or Section 3C. The Secretary of Defense shall take all legally available measures to provide to the Secretary of Homeland Security, upon request, any existing facilities available for the housing and care of alien families, and shall construct such facilities, if necessary and consistent with law. Secretary of Homeland Security, to the extent permitted by law, shall be responsible for reimbursement for the use of these facilities. Military bases. Military bases. God damn. Section 3D. Heads of executive departments and agencies shall, to the extent consistent with law, make available to the Secretary of Homeland Security for the housing and care of alien families pending court proceedings for improper entry any facilities that are appropriate for such purposes. 3E. The Attorney General shall promptly file a request with the U.S. District Court for the Central District of California to modify the settlement agreement in Flores versus Sessions, so-called Flores settlement, in a manner that would permit the Secretary of Homeland Security, under present resource constraints, to detain alien families together throughout the pendency of criminal proceedings for improper entry or any removal or other immigration proceedings. Section 4, which concerns prioritization of immigration proceedings involving alien families. The Attorney General shall, to the extent of practicable, prioritize the adjudication of cases involving detained families. Section 5. A. Nothing in this order shall be construed to impair or otherwise affect, 1, the authority granted by law to an executive department or agency or the head thereof, or 2, the functions of the director of the Office of Management and Budget related to budgetary, administrative, or legislative proposals, period. Section 5B. This order shall be implemented in a manner consistent with applicable law and subject to the availability of appropriations. Always with the appropriations. Section 5C. This order is not intended to and does not create any right or benefit, substantive or procedural, enforceable at law or in equity by any party against the United States, its departments, agencies, or entities, its officers, employees, or agents, or any other person. Period. Signed, Donald Trump, the White House, June 20th, 2018. Nice and legal and consistent with the policies of an insane fascist. There it is. And I see that rat fucker Stephen Miller's fingerprints all over it. All over it. Let's do a little fact checking here. Where does this come from? The Times, the Post? Shit, I'm not sure. First, some quotes. This is from today. Oh, it's, well, several days. This is Trump. Oh, it was 5 days ago. Remarks to reporters at the White House, June 15th. Quote, I hate the children being taken away. The Democrats have to change their law. That's their law. June 18th, Trump, in remarks at the White House, quote, we have the worst immigration laws in the entire world. Nobody has such bad, and actually, in many cases, such horrible and tough. You see about children's separation, you see what's going on there. Jeff Sessions, in a speech in Bozeman, Montana, June 7th. Quote, because of the Flores consent decree in a Ninth Circuit Court decision, ICE can only keep families detained together for a very short period of time, end quote. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, at a news briefing, June 14th. Quote, it's the law, and that's what the law states. Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen on Twitter, June 17th, quote, we do not have a policy of separating families at the border, period. Now, the one consistency through just this little handful of these ridiculous quotes is the fact that every single one of them is a goddamn lie. You don't operate around this monster for very long before you either willingly, because you've lost your mind, willingly parrot the bullshit that comes out of his pie hole, or you got the job that you now hold to begin with because you are a pathological liar. And therefore, you are consistent with what Trump does, what Trump believes, what he says. Trump and top administration officials say U.S. courts or court rulings are forcing them to separate families that are caught trying to cross the southern border. These claims are false. And I think this comes from the fact checkers at the Washington Post, I think. These claims are false. Immigrant families are being separated primarily because the Trump administration in April began to prosecute as many border crossing offenses as possible. This so-called zero tolerance policy applies to all adults, regardless of whether they cross alone or with their children. The Justice Department can't prosecute children along with their parents, so the natural result of the zero-tolerance policy has been a sharp rise in family separations. Nearly 2,000 immigrant children were separated from parents during 6 weeks in April and May, according to the Department of Homeland Security. The Trump administration implemented this policy by choice and could end it by choice. No law, no court ruling mandates family separations. In fact, during its first 15 months, the Trump administration released nearly 100,000 immigrants who were apprehended at the U.S.-Mexico border, a total that includes more than 37,000 unaccompanied minors and more than 61,000 family members. So if we're to believe the schizophrenic fuckwad who sits in the Oval Office, Trump himself is guilty of violating court orders and laws put in place by, you know, Democrats. The fact-checking goes on here. Children continue to be released to their relatives or to shelters. But since the zero-tolerance policy took effect, parents, as a rule, are being prosecuted. Any conviction in those proceedings would be grounds for deportation. We've published two fact checks about family separations, but it turns out these Trumpian claims have a zombie quality and just keep popping up. In the latest iteration Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen tweeted and then said at a White House briefing that the administration does not have a policy of separating families at the border. This is Orwellian stuff. Granted, the administration has not written regulations or policy documents that advertise, hey, we're going to separate families. But that's the inevitable consequence, as Kirstjen Nielsen and other Trump administration officials acknowledge. Kirstjen Nielsen told NPR in May, quote, operationally, what that means is we will have to separate your family. That's no different than what we do every day in every part of the United States when an adult in a family commits a crime. If you as a parent break into a house, you'll be incarcerated by police and thereby separated from your family. We're doing the same thing at the border. There's a difference, Kirstjen, you blonde bimbo. People who commit a crime in the United States and are convicted of that crime are convicted on evidence, court hearings, trials, juries, yada, yada, yada. The people who present themselves for political asylum and then are taken into custody have not, you fucking idiot, have not committed a crime. It's not a crime to ask for political asylum. Let me rephrase that. Up until this fucking administration, it has not been a crime to seek asylum. Do you understand, people, what's going on? Do you get this? This is that slow, incremental, step by step, piece by piece, move to a purely fascist form of government. The Congress of the United States has already identified itself as completely impotent in and completely unable to exercise its constitution or unwilling its constitutional authority. The Congress of the United States, the legislative branch, eventually will be declared useless and eliminated. The judicial branch of the United States is being populated by neo-fascists from the Supreme Court through the federal court system, through the federal appellate court system, to the point where eventually any executive order issued, and they will be all executive orders since the Congress will be gone, any executive order issued by Trump will be declared legal and constitutional. Think Jews under the Nazi regime in Germany. That was legal also. It just gets to the point where a person, that person being me, I just get so tired of just screaming the same bullshit, which is what it is. Trump administration officials insist they're trying to keep parents informed about their kids. The kids that were snatched from them. The kids with Down syndrome. The kids with epilepsy. The kids who are suffering with childhood diabetes. Gone. Snatched. Taken. And the Trump Nazis say they're trying to keep patients informed. Oh, fuck you. You don't even know where the parents are, much less the kids. The Washington Post's Nick Miroff reported some of the wrenching scenarios that families have wound up in. He writes, quote, some of the most intense outrage at the measures has followed instances of parents deported to Central America without their children or spending weeks unable to locate their sons and daughters. In other instances, pediatricians and child advocates have reported seeing toddlers crying inconsolably for their mothers at shelters where staff are prohibited from physically comforting them, end quote. I was listening today to a report by a pediatrician who had been a couple of years ago inside a detention center where kids were kept separate from their parents. Or maybe it was recent. There were toddlers and infants. I guess it was recent. The so-called tender age prisons. This pediatrician said that normally toddlers and babies old enough to crawl, if you walk into any daycare center or preschool, it's chock-a-block with noise and giggles and laughter and shouting and toys crashing and this and that and the kids pulling at each other and running around and shrieking, laughing, falling down. But he went into one of these tender age prisons. And he said what struck him immediately was the absolute silence of all these kids, except for one. It was a little girl he estimated to be about 18 months old. Who was in the center of the room, crying and shrieking uncontrollably. She couldn't be stopped. No one was there to stop her. No one was allowed to touch her. No one is allowed to pick her up. This baby. And by the way, you fucking Republicans, a curse on all of you. You will fucking do anything you can to stop a woman from ending a pregnancy. But you dirty, rotten fuckers, now, you Christian savages, you Republican savages, when you have a chance to save honest-to-God children, you dirty bastards, turn away, don't you, you hypocrites? God, I hate you too. So the baby's in the middle of the floor, shrieking and crying inconsolably. And an adult attendant or Homeland Security fuck or ICE agent, whatever they are, kept trying to get the baby's attention with books and toys. Poking the child with books or toys. Here, look at this. Here, look at this. You dirty sons of bitches, you dirty Nazi sons of bitches. Oh, my God, how did this happen? How did this happen? Well, some of us, probably you, certainly me, could see this coming a long fucking time ago, couldn't we? And what are we doing about it? I understand now some of these evangelical toads are starting to wake the fuck up and smell the baby shit that nobody will change a diaper because they're not allowed to touch them. Huh? You evangelical creeps, you're finally coming out of your fucking coma? Not because of what your Messiah said, but maybe because one of your fucked up preachers got up in front of the congregation, all of whom were probably Trump supporters, and very obliquely said something about the poor suffering children. You dirty hypocrites. insane. Now, one of the things being cited by this filthy pig who is the president and this filthy pig, this Klansman who's attorney general, is the so-called Flores decision, F-L-O-R-E-S, a person's name. Here's what that's about. A 1997 federal consent decree that requires the government to release all children apprehended crossing the border. The Flores consent decree began as a class action lawsuit. The Justice Department, during Clinton's administration, negotiated a settlement. And according to a 2016 decision, that's 19 years after the decree was signed, according to a 2016 decision by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit, the Flores settlement requires the federal government to release, rather than detain, all undocumented immigrant children, whether they crossed with parents or alone. The agreement doesn't cover any parents who might be accompanying those minors, but it doesn't mandate that parents be prosecuted or that families be separated. Moreover, Congress could pass a law that overrides the terms of the Flores settlement. The Flores settlement requires the government to keep immigrant families together for only 20 days, but no part of the dissent decree requires that families be separated after 20 days. Courts have ruled that children must be released from detention facilities within 20 days under the Flores consent decree, but none of these legal developments prevents the government from releasing parents along with the children. And a 2008 law meant to curb human trafficking called the Trafficking Victims Protection Reauthorization Act covers children of all nationalities except Canadians and Mexicans. Central American children who are apprehended trying to enter the United States must be released rather than detained under the terms of that act, and they're exempt from prompt return to their home countries. The law passed with wide bipartisan support and was signed by the Republican President George W. Bush. No part of the Trafficking Victims Protection Reauthorization Act, no part of it requires family separations. And then this one, the Immigration and Nationality Act of 1952. This comprehensive law governs U.S. immigration and citizenship and makes a person's first illegal entry into the United States a misdemeanor. Clinton, Bush, and Obama, the presidents who were in office during the immigration boom of the last few decades, never enforced the Immigration and Nationality Act's illegal entry provision with the kind of zeal exhibited by the Trump administration. The INA, Immigration and Nationality Act of 1952, says nothing about separating families. It was sponsored by Democrats and passed by a Democratic-held Congress. President Harry Truman, also a Democrat, tried to veto the bill, describing it as a reactionary and what he called un-American measure meant to keep out immigrants from Eastern Europe. Congress overrode his veto. So when we hear Trump and this little goblin fuck Sessions, or the battered wife Kirstjen Nielsen, when we hear these three monsters or that horrible cellar dweller, Miss Trunchbull, at the press briefings, when we hear these people talking the way they talk about children and immigration and screaming babies and parents being forced to watch their kids taken away in a fucking bus somewhere where they don't know where. No one keeps track and no one can tell them. I heard today that, is it American Airlines or United Airlines? All of them, all the airlines now have said no more transporting these children. Because what happened, these dirty fuckers in the Trump administration were booking flights for maybe 20 kids and telling the ticket agent that they were a soccer team. And then the 9 and 10, 11 and 12-year-olds board the plane, none of whom speak English, all of whom don't know what the fuck is happening. And then the airlines found out that they were being used also by this criminal fucker in the White House. So apparently they got together and said, that's the end of that shit. They will not transport any more children away from their parents. I need to take a break, Kathy.
The unobtrusive tones on the news tonight. And Mama said, why don't the newscasters cry when they read about people who die?
Oh my, remember yesterday, this filthy pig who squats in the White House had a meeting with Republican, only Republican House members to, you know, discuss immigration legislation, right? And according to people who were in that shithole, Trump implored the House Republicans to fix the nation's immigration system, but he didn't offer any leadership, and that's because this dirty bastard is not a leader. Representative Mark Wayne Mullen, a Republican of Oklahoma, said, quote, he really didn't tell us what bill to vote for. He said he wanted to take care of the kids. End quote. This from the man who has repeatedly defended his immigration crackdown, which includes this filthy government's gleeful forced separation of migrant children from their parents. Trump described for the Republicans yesterday how his precious daughter Ivanka, the one he apparently told Howard Stern he would like to, you know, mount if she wasn't his daughter. But he told the Republicans how his daughter Ivanka, a senior White House advisor, told him that the images from the border of families being separated were terrible. Terrible. What do we do, Daddy? Can we do anything to stop this? Trump quoted Ivanka saying. Can we do anything to stop this, Daddy? Oh, Daddy. The people who were in the room said that Trump's reaction to his daughter's remarks, according to Trump, was to call it a, quote, tough issue and to push Congress to act. Trump said, quote, we need to figure this out. It's a sad situation. We need to figure it out? Now, if you are willing, I guess that's the word I'll use, if you're willing to believe that this filthy son of a bitch, Trump, cares anything about children, then you're willing to believe goddamn near anything. Trump doesn't care about children. His policies show it, not just this policy, but his attempts to destroy the Affordable Care Act, which will take health insurance away from literally millions of children who desperately need the Affordable Care Act in order to get treatment for whatever disease they might be dealing with or might eventually deal with. There are all sorts of areas where Trump proves again and again he doesn't give a fuck about children. His environmental issues, I should say, his anti-environmental issues, are going to make hundreds of thousands of more children sick and will die. Whether it's poisoned water, poisoned air, poisoned chemicals, poisoned food. Trump doesn't give a fuck about children. All right, we're going to take a break and come back for the second hour here in a moment of the Mike Malloy podcast. Yeah, I saw or I heard and saw the tape of Rachel Maddow losing it on her program. When was that, last night? Kathy was up late and watched it, the rebroadcast. And yeah, it. How can you not talk about this stuff and not be emotionally ripped to pieces? And that's the final proof that Trump doesn't give a fuck about children. Never has, never will. Can you see Trump's eyes filling up with tears about the children he's torturing?
And it's a hard rain you're gonna fall.
Yeah, it's a hard rain. It's a hard rain is going to fall. This, with all my ranting and raving last hour, I forgot to mention this is church night. Maybe I'll quote you some Romans. Let me see. What was it? Romans 13. You know, that is a passage the Goblin used it the other day. Talk about law and order. That passage has been used by slave owners, Nazis, just about everybody. I'll get to that in a minute. We have three sponsors tonight, like I mentioned earlier. Chris Shaper, who sponsors a lot of church nights. Thank you, Chris. She writes, "Long live church night. Crush the infamy." And like I mentioned last hour, today is her birthday. Happy birthday, Chris. Also, Janet Scappin, name probably sounds familiar to you, right? She is one of the rescuers of this program. Janet says, providing a voice through all the evil and all the fear and all the injustice, I thank you for your spirit, Mike. Well, thank you, Janet. It's very kind of you to say that. And our third sponsor tonight, James Bothamley. I hope I'm saying that right, James. It's either Bothamley or Bottomley. I think it's Bothamley. It's very British, don't you know? James's message, happy belated Father's Day, Mike. The greatest gift my own father gave me was the privilege of growing up in Mexico. So whenever I hear the ridiculous argument that to live in a country you must to live in this country, you must speak English, I think of the Michael Franti lyrics from Is Love Enough, where he states the following. What language do you laugh in? What language do you cry in? What language do you dance in, make romance in? What language do you make love in? pray to the above in? What language are your fears? What language are your tears? Believe in coexistence. Keeping it lit, James. Thank you, James and Chris and Janet, very, very much. How do you pronounce George Takei, the guy that was on Star Trek? Takei, George Takei. Okay, thank you, Kathy. I never watched Star Trek. George Takei, Japanese-American, was interned with his family during World War II. And he says he never thought he would have to say the words, quote, at least during the internment, when he was 5 years old, Takei and his family were sent to a racetrack and forced to live in a horse stall. They were among 120,000 Americans of Japanese descent who were forcibly shipped out from the West Coast and confined to internment camps during World War II. And as Takei wrote yesterday in Foreign Policy, quote, because we happened to look like those who had dropped the bombs, end quote. Takei said he sees haunting echoes of that time in the scenes that are out there now all over the place of these little migrant kids, some of them in metal cages, separated from their parents, crying, lost. First Lady, or former First Lady Laura Bush, drew some similar parallels in an op-ed in the Washington Post. I think it was Monday. She said, or she wrote, that the images today, quote, are eerily reminiscent of the Japanese-American internment camps of World War II, now considered to have been one of the most shameful episodes in U.S. history, end quote. Maybe Trump is going to exceed that, you know, because he's the best at everything, right? But Takei said, quote, in one core horrifying way, what is happening now is worse. He points out that at least during the internment, he and other children were allowed to stay with their families. Takei writes that his parents told him they were going to, quote, go on a vacation and live with the horses. And when they moved to a mosquito-infested camp in rural Arkansas, Takei said his parents, quote, put themselves between us and the horror. He wrote, quote, at least during the internment, we remained a family, and I credit that alone for keeping the scars of our unjust imprisonment from deepening on my soul, end quote. You know, that's true, but in some ways what's going on now with migrant families is considerably different from the internment of Japanese Americans. Most notably, most of those forced into internment camps, 70% of them were U.S. citizens. However, there are some parallels. One that stands out is the rhetoric and the lies used by Trump and back then by Roosevelt, to instill fear in the public and justify these horrific policies against a group of people. Takei wrote this, the government of the United States convinced the public that we must be planning something truly hidden and deeply sinister, quote unquote. Truth is, government officials in 1942 had no evidence at all. The Japanese Americans were trying to sabotage the United States by collaborating with Japan And some officials in the government back then, I don't know if they were Republican or Democrat or part of the Roosevelt administration, but officials in the U.S. government back then insisted that these Japanese Americans were a fifth column in the United States anyway. The evidence to the contrary didn't mean shit. Takai wrote, quote, "It was a lie and a big one, but it was one repeated enough and said with enough conviction that the rest of the country went along with it. We were the murderers, the thugs, the animals then. And since you couldn't tell the good from the bad, you might as well round up everyone in the name of national security," end quote. History repeats itself, first as farce, then as tragedy. Is that the saying? Trump has referred to these non-citizens of the United States seeking shelter, actually, as animals. That's the word Trump uses. What a piece of shit. At a convention at the White House last month, Trump said this, quote, "You wouldn't believe how bad these people are. These aren't people. These are animals." And later he said, "Oh, I was just referring to the gang MS-13. Goddamn, he overworks that poor fucking gang, doesn't he? I'm not saying poor fucking, you know, I mean, they're thugs like Trump. But the Cato Institute, which is funded in part by the Koch brothers, it's libertarian think tank. A person there, Julian Sanchez, said Trump's words conflated groups, lumped undocumented immigrants with gang members, and all gang members with animals. So you can see the way that progression works. And yesterday, this filthy bastard who is our president used the word infest to refer to people entering the country seeking asylum, as if they were vermin. Pests. And this pig also tweeted that Democrats want, quote, "illegal immigrants, no matter how bad they may be, to pour into and infest the country like MS-13, end quote. And Takai wrote in his op-ed, quote, "The broad brush of criminal today raises echoes of the wartime word enemy to my ears." He goes on, quote, "Once painted, both marks are impossible to wash off. Trump prepared his followers for this day long ago when he began to dehumanize Mexican immigrants as drug dealers, rapists, murderers, and animals," end quote. It's all part of this filthy pig's zero tolerance policy, or concerns people trying to come to this country for safety, security, a chance to live a life, chance to become citizens. But these filthy goddamn Republicans, they understand their truth, which is anybody that comes to this country as an immigrant, especially if they're Latino, automatically become Democratic supporters. Democratic Party supporters. So the Republican attitude is fuck them. Zero tolerance policy. Takai argued that U.S. officials during World War II had their own zero tolerance party. He wrote, quote, "Being tough on Japan easily translated into being tough on the Japanese here in America, no matter that most of us weren't even Japanese nationals. Nearly two-thirds of those imprisoned were U.S. citizens. But as the wartime relocation authority made clear, a Jap is a Jap." Here's an example. On February 9th, 1942, the Associated Press distributed across the country an article about a report of HUAC, the House Committee on Un-American Activities, which proposed that all Japanese on the West Coast be removed at least 500 miles inland and interned. And the reason? The House Committee on Un-American Activities claimed that Japanese Americans had promoted, quote, systematic espionage and even prepared the way for the attack on Pearl Harbor, end quote. The HUAC report went on to say, quote, the United States has been and still is lax, tolerant, and soft toward the Japanese who have violated American hospitality. The fifth column peril is still acute. End quote. Now that phrase or that hyphenated word, fifth column, which was, I remember my mother telling me about that word. It was used all the time by officials and what constituted the news media back then. And it was understood that it applied, fifth column, the term applied to, well, it was understood by just about everyone in the country, my mother said, that because of reports from Europe of disloyalty in countries that were being overrun by Nazi Germany, fifth column, you know, like the Vichy French. And back then it was being applied to Japanese Americans. A little more history from, I guess, from George. Quote, a week after Japan bombed Pearl Harbor, December 7, 1941, Secretary of the Navy Frank Knox returned from an inspection trip to Hawaii and asserted that, quote, the most effective fifth column work of the entire war, end quote, had aided the Japanese. So the whole thing was laid off on Japanese Americans. Secretary of the Navy Knox accused people of Japanese ancestry in Hawaii of helping to carry out the attacks. And there were the rumors, you know, I don't think Limbaugh was born then, and I don't think the little pissant Hannity was born then. I don't think the ugly fucker Steve Bannon was born then. I don't think Alex Jones was born then. But they had their fake news fuckers operating. For example, rumors were planted that Japanese Americans in Hawaii had guided the Japanese fleet of aircraft by planting pineapple fields in the shape of arrows pointing to Pearl Harbor. Can you fucking believe that? Doesn't that sound like these assholes like Hannity and Bannon and the little Nazi Jew Stephen Miller and this crazy psychopath Alex Jones and this insane bastard that is the president of the United States? The shit was said 76 years ago. Oh, they're planting pineapple fields in the shape of arrows pointing toward Pearl Harbor in case anybody fucking misses a huge harbor on the side of Hawaii. That way you've got pineapple. Jesus Christ. And by the way, it says here that an extensive official government inquiry in 1982 by the Commission on Wartime Relocation and Internment of Civilians documented that whole story in great detail. And of course, none of it was true, as the inquiry showed. That was the commission that was trying to come to some sort of reparation to pay the descendants of these families who had been ripped up, everything taken from them, their businesses, their homes, and plopped down in some of the most inhospitable, I'm talking about mosquitoes and bugs and roaches, parts of the country. Now, the truth is, during all of World War II, there wasn't one example of espionage or disloyalty by a Japanese American. It was never documented. Even intelligence reports said that this fifth column bullshit was just that, bullshit. Even though that term was used by the U.S. Supreme Court when it upheld the treatment of Japanese Americans in a whole series of now infamous decisions that the U.S. should be, one more thing that we should be so fucking ashamed of. But apparently we're not. That order, putting the roundup of Japanese American citizens, came from Roosevelt. And there was no opposition to the order because of all the fear that had been ginned up about the war. And some of it legit. I mean, we had been attacked at Pearl Harbor, although we had no business being there, but, you know. The American public had already been fed a steady diet of racist stereotypes and conspiracy theories about, among other groups, Japanese Americans. Think of the poor goddamn African Americans in this country in 1942. They probably would have been grateful to have gone to an internment camp instead of living in the shit that the white race forced them to live in. What do you think? But all that propaganda that was put out to us, the American public, of racist stereotypes and all this other shit about Japanese Americans, it was put out there by high officials of federal, state, and local governments. It was just what you said. That's what you did. I was looking through some wartime propaganda posters by the United States during World War II, where it regarded the Japanese and a little bit of German. The Germans, it was hard to make them look like monsters because they looked like us. It's difficult when white people trying to make other white people look like monsters, right? Huh? But the caricatures, if that's the right word, of the Japanese, I'm talking about the Japanese in Japan, the Japanese, the caricatures were fucking gruesome. The designers who came up with some of these graphic displays made the Japanese people look like rats, huge, buck-toothed, beady-eyed rats. Dressed in a Japanese military uniform. It's pretty gruesome. Look it up. Fucking look it up. They're scary. And the head of the Army's Western Command, one Lieutenant General John DeWitt, wrote in a report that the entire Japanese race was, quote, an enemy race. He wrote this, quote, "In the war in which we are now engaged, racial affinities are not severed by migration." In other words, if you're Japanese, come to the United States, you're still Japanese, right? "The Japanese race is an enemy race. And while many second and third generation Japanese born on United States soil, possessed of United States citizenship, have become Americanized, the racial strains are undiluted." End quote. Woo. That's 76 years ago? Sounds like yesterday. A different word for Japanese. And according to a report in the Washington Post, in a phone call with then Assistant Secretary of War, Secretary of Defense hadn't been invented yet. No euphemism. Back then it was Secretary of War. The Assistant Secretary of War, J. McCloy, General DeWitt said the following, according to a report in the Washington Post, quote, If they, the Japanese Americans, are allowed to remain where they are, we're just going to have one complication after another because you just can't tell one Jap from another. They all look the same. Give a sentry or an officer or troops any job like that, a Jap's a Jap. And you can't blame the men for stopping all over them. End quote. And if the government officials prompted the hysteria, and by the way, you understand why I'm sharing this with you. Because this is what this fucker Trump and the swine who operate in right-wing media, this is what they do 24/7. Anyway, if the government officials back then promoted the hysteria, the media fueled it. Hearst, columnist Henry McLemore, argued in January 1941 column, argued for the removal of every Japanese person on the West Coast, quote, to a point deep in the interior, end quote. He said this, quote, herd them up, pack them off, and give them the inside room in the Badlands. Let them be pinched, hurt, hungry, and dead up against it. Personally, I hate the Japanese, and that goes for all of them, end quote. The L.A. Times back then called for the removal of the Japanese, declaring, quote, a viper is nonetheless a viper wherever the egg is hatched. So a Japanese American born of Japanese parents grows up to be a Japanese, not an American. End quote. The federal government also subsidized radio programs that dehumanized Japanese people. One government-sponsored series aimed at promoting the sale of war bonds aired an episode titled, quote, A Lesson in Japanese, end quote. And in that program, it described the Japanese as monkeys, reptiles, and savage beasts. Another episode portrayed a U.S. soldier dismembering a Japanese soldier's genitals. Oh, yeah. In March 1942, a message from a government agent on the West Coast warned Washington that newspapers were publishing many stories, quote, concerning the Jap infiltration of ownership of land surrounding vital areas. Some feel it is better to send 1,000 innocent people away than risk sabotage by one, end quote. Does stuff sound familiar? So, more than 75 years later, we are once again, according to George Takei in his foreign policy piece, quote, flinging ourselves into a world of camps and fences and racist imagery and lies just big enough to stick, which is an old Nazi propaganda technique. Tell lies. Tell big lies. The bigger the better. Repeat them over and over and over, and finally the people will believe them. Takei closed his piece by saying, and unless we act now, we will have failed to learn at all from our past mistakes. Well, George, don't count on that. Like the saying goes, history repeats itself, first as farce, then as tragedy. We will take a short break and be back momentarily. We don't know why. Okay, before I start frothing at the mouth and cussing and screaming again and using the F word and yada, 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 let me, with a warm heart, mention our three sponsors again. Our three sponsors for tonight: Chris Shaper, whose message is "Long Live Church Night, Crush the Infamy." And today is Chris's birthday, we found out. So happy birthday, Chris. Also, one of the angels who flits around, I believe in certain kinds of angels, who flits around the Molloy program and has for years and years, Janet Scaffin is our second sponsor tonight. Her message: for providing a voice through all the evil and all the fear and all the injustice. I thank you for your spirit, Mike. That is very sweet. Thank you, Janet. And we also have James Bothamley. And again, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, James. His message: happy belated Father's Day, Mike. The greatest gift my own father gave me was the privilege of growing up in Mexico. So whenever I hear the ridiculous argument that to live in this country you must speak English, I think of the Michael Franti lyrics from Is Love Enough, where he states the following, quote, "What language do you laugh in? What language do you cry in? What language do you dance in or make romance in? What language do you make love in or pray to the above in? What language are your fears? What language are your tears? Believe in coexistence." End quote. Keeping it lit. Signed, James. So much thanks to our sponsors tonight. We truly, truly appreciate it. You know, the Trump Organization attracts some of the worst vermin that has ever operated, and that's saying a lot, in the U.S. government, at the highest level of U.S. government. I mean, some of the people that have and are still working for Trump, a number of whom will wind up in prison, one hopes, some of them are just unspeakably evil. And I'll say it again, I used to consider the word evil to be a religious term, and therefore it had no meaning whatsoever. Well, I've given that up. Evil does exist. And in our time, it's personified by Trump and this collection of beasts that he has assembled around him. Corey Lewandowski is one of the worst. He's the little chattering asshole who just can't seem to get the kind of attention from his Lord and Master that he would just kill to have. Lewandowski at one time, didn't he run the Trump campaign for a while, Kathy, or did he? But he's this skinny little bug-eyed, frantic human being who just, it's as if every other phrase out of his mouth is, watch me, look at me, look at me. Well, last night on Fox News, on their evening newscast, former Democratic National Committee advisor Zach Petkanis, I'll just say Petkanis, began telling a little story of, quote, a 10-year-old girl with Down syndrome who was taken from her mother and put in a cage, end quote. And in the middle of his comments, the other guest on the other side via video hookups, Corey Lewandowski, cut in and said, womp, womp, mocking the little kid with Down syndrome. Womp, womp. But Canada shot back, did you just say womp, womp to a 10-year-old with Down syndrome? How dare you? Lewandowski tried to speak. How dare you? Petkanis said, how dare you? How absolutely dare you, sir? I don't know why he added the sir. Now, the fact that this little weasel, Lewandowski, was saying pretty much the exact – or giving out the exact same message that the Trump organization has been attempting to counter in recent days must have done something for the orange bastard who watches Fox all the time. But those images and the audio from the border of crying kids snatched from their children, crying parents not knowing what the fuck to do. Trump zero tolerance policy. You son of a bitch. You son of a bitch. Until today. And finally today, he caused an intolerable situation to become an intolerably confusing situation. Jesus. Megyn Kelly, the former Fox Channel star, said, quote, "There is no low to which this coward Corey Lewandowski won't sink. This man should not be afforded a national platform to spew his hate," end quote. Well, that's true, Megyn Kelly, but would you say that about Sean Hannity? Would you say that about Tucker Carlson? Maybe you would. I don't know. These are your former co-workers. They have been spewing lies and deception and hate and perversion ever since Fox News became Fox News. So, not that it matters, but I'll take Megyn Kelly a lot more seriously when she goes after that whole stable of bastards at Fox. I'm sorry to keep sighing into the phone, or into the microphone. I really am. And believe it or not, you know, I used to work with Rachel Maddow at Air America. We used to go, or we would get there via separate ways, but we used to go to these I don't know what you'd call them. These gatherings of kind of a meet and greet where we would go to Seattle or L.A. or Chicago or wherever for a chance to meet the people who were tuning into Air America. And there would be a bunch of us. When we go to the West Coast, it would be Tom Hartman, Rachel Maddow, Ron Reagan Jr. Oh God, who else? Come on, help me, Kathy. Sam Cedar. Who else?
Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller, yeah.
Sometimes Randy.
Randy Rhodes. A couple times Ed Schultz. Almost got in a fight with him on the stage in Seattle, that son of a bitch. Oh, that was awful. So I certainly don't know Rachel Maddow, but we work together. And I always liked her. I always felt that she liked me to the extent that we knew each other that well. So when I saw the video of her breaking down, losing it on her program last night as she was trying to report on the Trump bastard's so-called tender age shelters. You know, I got a lump in my throat watching that. Now, I didn't see it live. Kathy did. But when I saw that, I couldn't help it because, you know, I noticed Rachel has been getting some flack from the hard left here recently. And I'm sure there are things over the course of her career at MSNBC that little old Mikey Malloy here in Atlanta in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains could probably find fault with to some degree if I wanted to be a real nitpicker. But because she has become so enormously popular, certain elements on the left now are starting to take pot shots at her, which I think is just a bunch of horseshit. But, you know, that's where we live. But I have found in her television persona, and again, I'm not claiming I know her or I mean, if I had her phone number and called her up right now and said, hey, it's Malloy. Yes, of course, she would know who I am, but that doesn't mean shit. Doesn't mean anything. It just means we used to work together. But I've watched her video presentation ever since she started MSNBC. I remember the night in Seattle when she told us that she was going to audition. Stephanie Miller auditioned for that slot, too. That was after they fired Keith Olbermann, yeah, because he had the absolute temerity to tell the fucking truth. But over all this time that I've watched Rachel, I've always found her to be one thing that is absolutely imperative to me if I have any respect for a person, and that is she has been honest. Wouldn't you agree, Kathy? Kathy's a fan. She has been honest. So, seeing her break down in tears while trying to report this horrible fucking story of the so-called tender age shelters where these little babies and kids have been dumped by this filthy administration, I felt so sorry, and I know this sounds ridiculous, but I felt so sorry for Rachel. Of course I feel sorry for the kids. But I have no business feeling sorry for somebody in this business. That's just the nature of this business, you know? You're going to report on things that will – or you talk about it if you're a talk show host, report on it if you're in news media, whatever, that do fuck with your head severely. I've had that happen to me a couple of times in my vaunted radio and podcast career. Where I just couldn't keep talking. The subject matter or the examples or the thing I was quoting was so awful. And it's usually something so awful that is being perpetrated by our government against people that have no fucking way at all of defending or protecting themselves or their children or their family members. Every time I read a news report about another wedding party or another family reunion that was blown into fucking oblivion by U.S. drone strikes because, oops, well, we thought a high-ranking Taliban was going to be there. Sorry. We'll pay the survivors, if there are any, $1,500 per human life that we fucking murdered. I mean, stories like that used to really just bring me down. I mean, I, knowing full well the story had nothing to do with me. The story wasn't about me. It was about these tragedies that were occurring. How the story involved me was because I'm an American, and this was being done by the American government and the American military using money collected from the American public. There's no fucking way to get out of this. I mean, if you're an American citizen like I am. You and I are responsible for these so-called tender age shelters that made Rachel Maddow cry. Yeah, no, that's the fucking truth. There's no way that I can avoid that. And if you're honest, there's no way you can avoid it. We are Americans, and we have allowed this filthy pig to so corrupt everything, every fucking thing this man or his slimy family touches or his cabinet touches or anybody in his administration, everything that they touch turns to shit, and we allow it. We're allowing it. We are allowing this to happen. So there's no fucking way that you or me or he or her or him or she or anybody who's an American citizen can hide from the fact that we are partly responsible. If there is such a thing as partly responsible. What's that? Like almost pregnant. We're responsible. And shame on us. It'll happen eventually. You know, 75 years from now, there will be a version of George Takei writing about what happened to immigrants that were fleeing from violence and death and destruction that we were instrumental in producing to fucking begin with in Central America, trying to come to Emma Lazarus's shores. She didn't say, send me the people who speak English, you fucking Trump administrations. She said, send me those people yearning to be free. What a goddamn parody of that the Trump policies represent. I'm going to go to America. Why is that? I'm going to be free. I'm taking my son and daughter. I want them to be free too. 2 months later, the mother has been slammed back to Honduras, one of the most violent states on earth, and the children are – no fucking body knows. Nobody knows. And I will say this about Christians in this country, only because the Christians, among other reasons, but the main reason, because Christians claim they will get in your fucking face with this. This is a Christian country founded on Christian principles, over and fucking over again, right? Okay. So my challenge, if that's the right word, to these Christians would be this. If you are really Christian and really believe in the few words your Messiah said, he only gave, what, three sermons? The rest of it is made up shit by people who God knows, pardon the expression, what their motivation was. But your Messiah only made three or four sermons. And I'll be goddamned if he said a word about turning people away. He said the opposite, you fucking hypocrites. So here's your challenge. Let's have every Christian in America get off your asses, get out of your fucking church pews, put down your Bibles that you beat the shit out of people with, throw your hymnals to the side, and march on Washington. Every goddamn Christian in America, march on Washington, demand that this fucking dictator be removed legally and peacefully. Demand it. Come on, Christians. I gave you this challenge where it concerned guns. And nothing happened. Not that you people listen to me. I understand why you don't. If I were you, I wouldn't listen to me either. I would be too fucking ashamed. So there's your challenge, Christians. You keep pounding in my face and everybody's face that this is a Christian nation. You're full of shit about that. But if you really believe it, then show it. But you won't. Because you are hypocrites. and you are liars, and you are sneaks, and you support this fucking maniac who's in the White House. But there's your challenge. Womp womp. There's your challenge. I'm sorry, Kathy. I know I'm just pissing in the wind. Just pissing in the wind. Oh, good Lord. I was going to get to Romans 13. That's the one where the Apostle Paul urged everyone to be, quote, subject to the governing authorities, end quote. And I've said it before, the Bible, just like a gun, can be a very dangerous weapon when you put it in the hands of these religious bigots. And I read somewhere the other day that segregationists and autocrats and dictators throughout Western history have used or have claimed that Romans 13 covers oppressive or unjust laws because it says in the Bible. But if I can be so bold as to remind you Christians of something that comes from the Jewish tradition, whether you want to accept that or not, I don't give a shit, but it comes from the Jewish tradition. And that is the centerpiece of social ethics is not order. It's justice. Justice. Reverend King wrote about that from the Birmingham jail, right? I read something the other day, too, that it said that Trump's immigration policy, and this phrase sticks with me, is a carnival of degradation. Jesus Christ, a carnival of degradation. Just so. That's it from me tonight, the 20th of June 2018. Don't forget, before you start the music, Kathy, I wanted to mention once again this website. I mentioned it last night, but check it out. It is refusefascism.org. Refusefascism.org. You know, that phrase certainly applies now, but there have been moments in American history where, as now, it really applied. Refusefascism.org. I'll see you next time. One more time, happy birthday, Chris Shaper. Y'all take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.